an amazing parasha that we read today in the way that Yaakov worked for his wives and how his wives would betray him and all that sort of thing. But I want to do today is to concentrate, excuse me, I've got a frog in my throat, on Yaakov's story. And I'm going to go a little bit past our scripture because I won't be reading the rest of the scriptures of Yaakov. And I've titled my message, From a Ladder to a Limp. Because we started our readings today from Bereshit 25:27, where it says there, the boys grew and Esav became a skillful hunter and an outdoorsman while Yaakov was a quiet man who stayed in the tents. Yitzhak favoured Esav because he had a taste for game. Rivka favoured Yaakov. We learnt that last week that Yaakov was a mama's boy. He was mummy's boy. Whatever he wanted, mummy provided. But he deceived Esav out of his birthright. And the birthright is the double portion of inheritance as the firstborn. Even though Esav thought it was useless to him when he was hungry, then with the help of his mother Rivka, Yaakov deceived Yitzhak into giving him the blessing as well. Esav begged for a blessing as his father's pending death, but didn't feel as if he could get it without the blessing. So then he threatened to kill Yaakov. And that leads us to this week. But in Bereshit 27:41, it says that Esav hated his brother because of the blessing his father had given him. Esav said to himself, the time for mourning my father will soon come, then I will kill my brother Yaakov. So once Rivka comes again to his aid, because she heard about this, and then makes a plea to Yaakov. And in Bereshit 27:43-46, which we read last week, therefore my son, listen to me, get up and escape to Lavan, my brother in Haran. Stay with him a little while until your brother's anger subsides. Your brother will turn away from you and he will forget what you did. Then I'll send and bring you back from there. Why should I lose both of you on the same day? Rivka said to Yitzhak, I'm sick to death of Hitti women. If Yaakov marries one of the Hitti women like those who live here, my life won't be worth living. That's a recap on last week, and that's how Yaakov gets to go to be with his uncle. Now, today's reading, Yaakov has fled Esav's wrath. He has a dream and the vision of a ladder, now known as Yaakov's ladder at Beit El, which in Hebrew, Beit El means house of Elohim or house of God. And we read that in chapter 28, verses 12 to 15. It says, he dreamt that there before him was a ladder resting on the ground with its top reaching to heaven. Then suddenly Yehovah was standing there next to him, and he said, I am Yehovah, the Elohim of Avraham, your grandfather, and Elohim of Yitzhak, the land of which you are lying, and I will give to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the grains of dust on the earth. You will expand to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. By you and your descendants, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And in our next slide, look, I am with you. I will guard you wherever you go. I will bring you back into this land because I won't leave you until I have done what I have promised. So after Yaakov worked 20 years in receiving Yah's blessings, Yaakov meets another angel in his worst crisis. As we finished our readings today, Yaakov had left Lavan. Rachel had sat on the idols. So she had the idols, and we know that Rachel never ever gets to where they were getting. She died before they got there. But once again, Yaakov is in fear. He's in fear of his life because he has to face Esav again, his brother, who said he would threaten to kill him. He'd worked 20 hard years for Laban. He'd received many blessings. But then Yaakov hasn't been operating out of fear, and this time he wrestles until daybreak and is forever changed at Peniel, which in Hebrew means face of El, or face of God. And so what I'll concentrate on from this time onwards is the existence of angelic beings. The existence and activity of angels is assumed in Scripture. The word angel in Hebrew is malach, and it actually means messenger, especially a messenger of Elohim. It could also mean a prophet, a priest, a teacher, ambassador, or king, depending on the context in which it's written. Because in Hebrew, one word has many meanings. There are 230 times we find angels or messengers carrying out their work in Scripture, and they were present at every crisis in history. So maybe they're present in our crises at the moment. Angels or messengers, as I prefer to call them, were the first and highest order of created beings. They were created a host or a multitude. They are not a race. Each angel was directly created, not born like a human. And those fallen with Hasatan, each one sinned directly as well. Their numbers are eternally unchanged. They haven't changed. They don't increase, they don't decrease. Yehovah is their creator, but he is our Father. And we are made in his image, they are not. So they were created, but definitely not in Yehovah's image. These messengers have a type of spiritual body that can appear to man whenever Yehovah wills it. Only cherubim and seraphim are described as having wings. Seraphim can have six wings, but angels can fly swiftly. But this may refer only to speed, not to the form of movement as spoken by Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, we read, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gavriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, swooped down on me in full flight at about the same time of the evening sacrifice." And in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, "Then I looked and I heard the sounds of a vast number of angels, thousands and thousands, millions and millions. They were all around the throne, the living beings and the elders. This was an innumerable company. You couldn't count them." In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it says, "On the contrary, you have come to Mount Zion, that is the city of the living Elohim, heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels in festive assembly." Myriads also obviously means we cannot comprehend or count the number. Now, in Jewish tradition, it states there are 12 archangels and 70 angels serving as princes over the 70 nations divided at the time of the Tower of Babel. A heavenly Sanhedrin. Yeshua chose 12 Talmudim, or 12 disciples. And later, he sent out another 70 to spread the good news of the Messiah. According to Scripture, we only have 3 archangels. One, Lucifer, the leader of worship in heaven, also known as Hasatan, who fell because of sin, or the adversary. Michael, he was the protector of Yehovah's people, Israel. And Gavriel, the messenger of messianic revelation. Each of these angels governed one third of the hosts. They all had their own, of the whole host, they had one third each. There is to me a question mark as to whom the other nine archangels were that the Jewish people speak of. Angels are often spoken of as watchers, hosts of Jehovah, holy ones, ministering spirits, flames of fire, elect, sons of Yah, morning stars, sons of the mighty, princes, thrones, dominions, and powers. We are forbidden to worship angels, but it is an equal error not to believe in them. We don't worship them, but they are real. The Torah tells us that we are not to worship images of any kind. And we get that in Devarim or Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 to 20. It says, therefore, watch out for yourselves, since you did not see a shape of any kind on the day Yehovah spoke to you in Horeb from the fire. Do not become corrupt and make yourselves a carved image, having the shape of any figure, nor a representation of a human being, male or female, either a representation of any animal on earth, or a representation of any bird that flies in the air, or a representation of anything that creeps along the ground, or a representation of any fish in the water below the shoreline. For the same reason, do not look up to the sky at the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in the sky, and be drawn away to worship and serve them. Yehovah your Elohim has allotted these to all the peoples under the entire sky. As most of you know, I taught in schools throughout Queensland for 38 years. Parents would give me angels as Christmas presents at the end of the year. I would thank them for their kindness, but put them in the bin when I arrived home. The parents gave out of love and gave out of ignorance. I couldn't dare tell them that to have it in my home would be to me like having an idol of worship there. Since angel means messenger, the word is sometimes used as human servants of Yah, such as the angel of the seven churches in Revelation. And even Yehovah appeared in the time of the Tanakh as the angel of Yehovah, or a theophany. A theophany was a temporary manifestation of Yah, while the incarnation was the permanent manifestation of Yehovah. Yeshua's body still exists in a glorified state to this very day. That's why he was a incarnation of Yehovah. On the context of the written word, it reveals that it is Yah, a man. It reveals if it is Yah, a man, or an angel. Most theologians think Yaakov wrestled with a theophany, since the angel of Yehovah was spoken of as an Elohim who had a wonderful secret name and was said to redeem Yaakov. And we read that in Bereshit 32, 29 to 30, where it says, Yaakov asked him, please tell me your name. And he answered, why are you asking about my name? And he blessed him there, and Yaakov called the place Peniel, face of Gah, because I have seen Yehovah's face to face, yet my life is spared. And Yaakov on his deathbed, speaking to Yosef, says in Bereshit 48:16, the angel who has rescued me from all harm, bless these boys, Ephraim and Menashe. May they remember who I am and what I stand for, and likewise my father Avraham and Yitzhak, who they were and what they stood for. And may they grow into a teeming multitude on the earth. Now, angels are used in ministry. The ministry of angels is to minister to people. This is why Malachi and I do not call ourselves rabbi or or anything like that, but we call ourselves ministers because it is our duty to minister to people. In the Tanakh, an angel ministered to Hagar and Ishmael when they were cast out when Sarah cast them out. Three angels brought Jehovah's promise to Abraham and Sarah. Two angels rescued Lot out of Sodom. An angel called to Abraham to spare Yitzhak when he was about to kill him. An angel gave Moshe the revelation of Jehovah's name. Angels were present at the giving of Torah. And an angel warned Balaam of his disobedience. And an angel destroyed 70,000 Israelim when David disobeyed. An angel strengthened Eliyahu, and an angel slew 185,000 Assyrians. An angel preserved Daniel in the lion's den, and an angel preserved three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. I'll not give you all the scriptures of these, but I'm sure you've heard all of the stories and read their accounts. But when we see again the life of the Messiah, Yeshua, angels announced his birth to Miriam and also to Yosef and the shepherds. Angels ministered to him after he'd been on the mount for 40 days and after Hasatan had tried to tempt him. Angels ascended and descended upon him during his ministry. And Yeshua, speaking to Nathanael when he was called to be his Talmidim in Yochanan John 1:51, which we read today. Then he said to him, "Yes, indeed, I tell you that you will see heaven opened and the angels of Elohim going up and down on the Son of Man." That they will see the angels going up and down on Yeshua. Yeshua, in that case, was the ladder. An angel strengthened him as he prayed in Gate Shamanim or Gethsemane, and an angel rolled a stone away from his tomb. Two angels stood guard after his resurrection, and two angels spoke to the disciples or the Talmudim at his ascension. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, the men said, "You Galileans, why are you standing staring into space? This Yeshua, who has been taken away from you into heaven, will come back to you in just the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Why are you standing staring into space? Maybe we also would have been staring into space if we'd seen Yeshua taken up into heaven, just standing in awe and watching him go up. The Talmudim were in no doubt in a complete place of awe when the angel spoke to them. In the early messianic community, an angel opened prison doors to release the apostles. An angel sent Philip to the desert to witness. An angel told Cornelius to send for Caiaphas. I want you to take notice of what's happening. The angels never ever preach the gospel. They directed men to those who could. Philip went to the Ethiopian on his way back from the temple. Cornelius spoke to Shaul when he first met Yeshua on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded, and it was Cornelius that came and spoke to him. And angels rescued Shaul out of prison and Caiaphas out of prison. Angels killed Herod for his pride. And the angels stood by Shaul in terrible storms, especially when he landed at the Bay of Shaul in Cyprus. Not Cyprus. It's awful. I've been there, stayed there. Malta. in Malta.
St. Paul's Bay.
St. Paul's Bay. Mm. Malachi and I stayed there for a week. Having said all that, we can learn from angels or messengers of Yah. What do they do? One, they worship. We learn to worship through angels. Angels never accept worship from man, but direct all worship to Yehovah. In Revelation 5 and verses 11 to 12, it says, "Then I looked and I heard the sound of a vast number of angels, thousands and thousands, millions and millions. They were all around the throne, the living beings and the elders, and they shouted out, 'Worthy is the slaughtered Lamb to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honour, glory and praise.'" We learn wisdom. The wisdom of an angel has increased over time as they have beheld the dealings of an all-wise Yehovah with mankind and the rest of his creation. Angels are obedient, so we can learn obedience from them. Angels do immediately and unquestionably whatever Yehovah asks of them. They obey immediately. In Tehillim Psalms 103, verses 20 to 21, it says, "Bless Yehovah, you angels of his, you mighty warriors who obey his word, who carry out his orders. Bless Yehovah, all his troops who serve him and do what Yehovah wants," or he wants. Angels teach us strength. Angels are strong only because they exercise Yehovah's power. They are mighty, but Yehovah is almighty. When we need strength, we can call on Yehovah, and his strength will be sufficient for us. He gives us the strength to cope through any situation. Times, I can assure you, I think I'm not coping at all. Just can't cope. Too much. But Yehovah is my strength. Angels teach us holiness. Angels serve Yehovah in holiness because he is holy. We are not holy, we never will be. And in Revelation 4 and verse 8, it says, "Each of the living beings had six wings and was covered with eyes inside and out. Day and night they never stopped saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yehovah Elohim of heaven's armies, the one who was, who is, and who is coming.'" We are also commanded in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44, that says, "I am Yehovah, your Elohim, therefore consecrate yourselves and be holy, for I am holy." We consecrate ourselves to Yehovah, not to man, not to anything else. And this is what coming up for, I'm going to cough. This is what Hanukkah is all about. It's a time of reconsecration, rededicating our lives to Yehovah. And anyone who wants to get immersed at that time can be immersed. They also teach us meekness. Once fallen angels ever rose up in sinful pride. If Yah sent two angels to earth, one to rule an empire, another to sweep the streets, they would never even consider switching places. They delight only in his will. So if Yehovah sent one to rule an empire, that's what he did. If he sent another to sweep the streets, that's what he did. And of course, they teach us joy. Angels rejoiced at Yehovah's creation. They also rejoice at his new creation, each and every one of us, as we become a new creation in him by accepting Yeshua HaMashiach as our Messiah. In Luke 15 and verse 10, it says, "In the same way, I tell you that there is joy among Jehovah's angels when one sinner repents." Now, Yaakov encounters the supernatural, and we'll read this next week, when Yaakov had his vision of the ladder. Jehovah wasn't just staging a show, which we read this week. He merely pulled back the curtain on the angelic activity occurring constantly in the supernatural realm. Angels minister to us because we are heirs of salvation. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says, "Moreover, to which of the angels has ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool of your feet'? Aren't they all merely spirits who serve, sent out to help those whom Elohim will deliver?" And in Psalm 34, verse 7, or Tehillim, "The angel of Jehovah who encamps around those who fear him delivers them." The ladder is still there. The angels still minister to the saints of Jehovah this very day. We do not command the angels. We simply pray to Yah, and he commands the angels to minister to each and every one of us on his behalf. However, like Yaakov, you can have an encounter with a supernatural power and still not be changed. His attitude after seeing the ladder, according to Bereshit 28, verses 20 to 21, Yaakov took this vow. Listen carefully to this vow. It starts with "if." That to me is putting a condition on Yah to start with. "If Jehovah will be with me and will guard me on this road that I am travelling, giving me bread to eat and clothes to wear so that I return to my father's house in peace, then, if he does that, then Jehovah will be my Elohim." He put a condition on it. We must never, ever put conditions on anything we ask of Yah. Yaakov hadn't learnt much. He hadn't learnt much. The fact that he had an encounter with Yah through the angel, he saw the ladder going all the way to heaven. He had this encounter. He knew he'd seen the face of Peniel, the face of God, but he still had a condition. Only if Yah does something first will Yaakov serve and honour him. How many new believers start off with conditions of Yah before they will make a commitment? Yep, there are them. Yaakov had wrestled with the angel and visited the house of Yah that he renamed Luz to Beit El, but he still hadn't seen the face of Yehovah, which is Peniel. Panim is the Hebrew word for face. Why it's a Hebrew word, I've got no idea. I've only got a single face, but it's a plural word in Hebrew. Panim, your face. Pen, pardon?
Multiple faces.
maybe. But Peni is the face belonging to, the E at the end. So Peniel is the face belonging to Yah. And there's a problem of epidemic proportions today, and it's why we see so few true commitments. People start their walk and fall away. People want Yah's power, and he wants us to want his presence, not his power. To trust him when we don't see his power. That's the hard part. What we are going through for not taking the jab is testing us to see if we will trust Yehovah to seek his presence even if we cannot see his power. These are trying times. It is definitely a test, as to whether we will trust or capitulate to mankind. I know that this government is at this stage going around, especially Indigenous communities, and knocking on doors trying to get jabs. How do I not know that in the future they're not going to land at my door and want to give me the jab? How they know who's had it and who doesn't, I'm not too sure. But they seem to know everything. But we have to trust Yah. After Yaakov had wrestled with the face, Yah face to face, he was forever changed at Peniel. His attitude when he wrestled with Yah was one, determination. I won't let you go unless you bless me. In Bereshit Genesis 23 and verse 26, it says, the man said, let me go because it's daybreak. But Yaakov replied, I won't let you go unless you bless me. We'll read this next week. We learn repentance. In Bereshit 32:27, the man asked, what is your name? And he answered, Yaakov. So what is your name? By speaking out his name, Yaakov means deceiver. And by saying his name, he's actually confessing that he is a deceiver. The next verse changes his name from Yaakov to Israel, which brings us an attitude of desire. In Bereshit 32:29, Yaakov asked him, please tell me your name. But he answered, why are you asking about my name? And blessed him there. This brings us to an attitude of gratitude. We need an attitude of gratitude no matter what our circumstances are. In Bereshit 32:30-31, Yaakov called the place Peniel, face of El, because I have seen Elohim face to face, yet my life is spared. As the sun rose upon him, he went on past Peniel, limping at the hip. From that time onwards, Israel walked with a limp. Can you imagine what it'd be like to be left with a limp to walk with? It was a constant reminder that he was no longer a deceiver, but a man to be used of Yah. All of Yah's great saints walk with a limp. It may not be a physical limp, but this person is certain, I'll get it out, the person is certainly different than the man would, than what man would put in that position. Jot showed us last Shabbat the hierarchy of Yah compared to the hierarchy of man. Of man. In this woman, this world, a woman of short stature would not be put in a position of leadership. People cannot look up to her, only down at her. Let alone neurodiversity women, as only neurotypical are acceptable in this modern world. And I am just speaking about myself. But I'm sure both Mr. Sean and Jot can speak of the limp that they bear each day. Can I assure you, what looks weak to this man's world is strong in Yehovah's eyes. He told me himself when praying and telling him of my lack of self-confidence going on my first trip to India to plant churches, he said, my strength will be sufficient for you. I can assure you it was. We saw many miracles, and although I was out of my comfort zone most of the time, Yehovah gave me the strength to do the things and say the things that I never thought I could do. I was well out of my comfort zone speaking in front of people, speaking on live stream. Especially when we started back 23 years ago. It was never my desire to be an upfront speaker. I am happy working in the background, doing one-on-one counselling, putting up the front, but up the front drains me of energy. After 23 years, and we're coming into our 24th in a few weeks, I'm a little bit more accustomed to it now, but I can still get completely drained, and by the end of the service, I have to sit down because my legs won't hold me up. And it's amazing. And it's all to do with my ASD, but that's just where I'm at. It just drains me. Speaking on the telephone to some people can drain me. You know, if their voice is too loud and they come up, especially accents that I've got to try and decipher, I come off the phone and I've got to spend time just alone to get myself together to get on with what I've got to do. And I know there's many people in your own boat, knowing what the weaknesses that you have and the limp that you have, and with what is expected of you as they push the vaccines, an expected Delta variant, you are pushed past your comfort levels. Remember, Yah is your strength, he is your provider, and he will provide you with angels to protect you. You may walk with a limp, but he is always right beside you. Now, I pray daily, it's normal, but I pray the 23rd Psalm every day. And I praise him and thank him through the 23rd Psalm that he is my shepherd, and I, you know, and that he does protect me. And when I pray, I thank him daily for the two angels that he gives me. He hasn't given me one, he's given me two. He's shown me that. I have seen them standing outside of my door of my home before, over 30 years ago, before I married Malachi. I lived by myself in a high rise in Service Paradise. And there were these two huge, giant angels in war and armour on either side of my doors, on the balcony. One on one balcony and one on the other. And Yah showed me very clearly that he would always have his angels guarding around me and protecting me. And he has. No matter what's happened, he's protected me. So it doesn't matter what limp we walk with, we know that his angels are around us and protecting us. And he is right by your side, no matter what you're going through at the moment. So that's all I've got to say today. Has anyone got any questions? Here comes John. You ought to come down and speak through the mic. Yes. It's okay.
Just something I was picking up on, just thinking about what you're saying about the link between us and angels and what we have. He sent two witness angels into Sodom.
Yes.
They were to witness the events that were happening.
That's right. But they also got people out.
Yeah.
They also pulled him out.
We overcome Hasatan by the word of our testimony and by our witness. So what we're doing by rejecting everything that's happening in the world and walking that out,
that is our witness.
I can see a great harvest coming from that, because I see people that are not, don't have a relationship with Yah. They see us walking in faith. They're not being terrified of what's happening. Well, I mean, there's some sort of, you know, there's uncertainties there. Well, but we have that faith of Yah, and they look at us, and then I can see them being gravitating towards us, and you're getting, and that harvest is coming in.
Oh, it will. The harvest will come in, because you see, they have put up fear tactics. That's the whole point of the whole pandemic. There's no flu. I mean, there's flu, but there's no COVID. They have never ever found a COVID strain or antibody that they can put into a vaccine to protect people from it. It's never been isolated or proven.
Yeah, so
therefore, everything they tell us is, when they said follow the science, they never show us the evidence. So there's no evidence of any real COVID. There's no evidence, especially in Australia, of deaths, mass deaths of COVID. The mass deaths are coming from the adverse reactions of the vaccine. Now, what it is all fear. Fear tactics is what they're using, which is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah, it's just around that being a witness, and the angels being witnesses and us being witnesses. We have that in common with them.
That's why we have to be strong. You want to take a mic? Because it's going all around the world. And they can't hear your question otherwise. Any question is acceptable.
I just think we need to fear God and obey his commandments. That's the conclusion of the matter.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
They can't see you.
Oh, good.
Pretend it's an ice cream cone you're about.
Put it against your chin.
That's where it needs to be.
Against your chin.
Damar, do you think as young believers that we compromise with God and he comes through for us? I find that when I was a young believer, I was always compromising with God and said, God, unless you do this for me, I'm not going to believe in you. But I found every time I compromised with God, he was coming through for me.
That's because he knows, purely and simply, that you are young, that you haven't learned to trust him yet, but he will direct you to a stage where you can trust him, and look where you're at now.
Amen.
Look where you're at now.
Yes.
That is the wonder of Yah. He knows our weaknesses. He accepts our weaknesses. He lifts us and carries us in our weaknesses. That's why you've heard of the the footprint story, where it's only Yeshua's feet in the sand that are being, because he's carrying us. And I see it as Yehovah's angels carrying us, because I know Yeshua's up at the right hand of Yah interceding for me. But he knows our weaknesses. That's our limp. That's the limp we have, our weaknesses, and what we have to live through in our life, and the things that we have that could hold us back from Yah, but because of his strength, he gets us through and we can get where we have to be. Is there any more questions?